Just remember the pee holes. Are we talking about pee holes? Because I get that. Yeah. I know pee holes.
This guy like trying to block pee holes or something. Yeah. Believe he doesn't me sound me like a good boy. Joel's a good boy.
He is not going to come to
this
California.
This guy does not sound like Cal Florida. Hashtag.
Thanks for listening to Middle-Aged and Mediocre. I'm Cash.
I'm Joel.
And we are a podcast about all things strange and unusual, death and UFOs, and other creepy,
cults,
weird, random
ghosts.
There you go. Yeah.
Not just naming things in the room.
Four, three, two, one. Hi, we're back. This is Joel, Middle-Aged and Mediocre, episode 964. Cash is shaking his head because I think he agrees. If I sound different, I'm wearing a sleeveless shirt because the sun's out today. And the rules are sun's out, guns out. So no, if you're like, why does Joel sound different? I don't have sleeves on right now. My arms are... I don't know if we talk about this on air where I shaved my armpits. Like, I am loving life right now. Yeah. So, that's this week's episode.
I was going to see how long you could go.
We took a week
off. Shaved your armpits.
Yes. Because I was... There was, like, the deodorant I was using was making my armpit hair all clumpy.
Just a 72-hour deodorant?
No, this was some other stuff that I was using. Because the gel... That was the gel stuff, and I moved away from the gel. Because it was getting my shirts too, like, stained. And I was still sweating through it.
So what's the point?
Yeah. So I sounded on a good one now, but it took me a couple tries, you know. And this one was, like, it was, like, the white chalky kind. And it just made my hair, armpit hair, all clumpy. And I was, like, trying to pull it out. And I was, like, that hurts.
Yeah, this is dumb.
And I, like, have my electric razor right there because I keep that thing on me. And I was, like, I'm just going to shave my armpits, you know. I'm a fancy boy.
Yeah, you are.
I like it.
They're very fancy.
I like it. Like, it's... Look, do you see what I'm doing?
Yeah, I think...
The listeners, you can't see it.
I think you could have done that with or without shaving.
I could have, but it wouldn't have felt like it just fell.
But if you guys... Like, so Joel was... imagine if you were, like, doing... Like, imitating a chicken.
Yeah.
But you didn't know how a chicken moved.
It was, so like, kind of lagged one
so
at
you just
side.
Sort of waved your arms back and forth.
Yeah.
It was fun.
It was fun.
Yeah, I used to shave mine when I wrestled.
Oh, yeah.
Just because, you know, out of like.
Yeah, it's like respect.
It's a nice gesture to, like, not, like, eat my hairy armpits when you
and
got
some
people
guys
in headlock.
Don't. Like FTR, I don't think that they're really.
It's less. You see more.
But you don't see a lot of headlocks now.
That's true. It's true. Back in my day.
Back in my day, kid, we started. That was the beginning, the middle, and the end.
The end.
I like that Woods, is his new finisher is the roll up.
Mm-hmm. And it's called the
Backwoods.
The Backwoods, yeah.
What are we, how are we? We're like, oh my God. So, we're from deodorant to wrestling to...
we have a really, I think, interesting story. It's one of the more interesting ones I think we've done. It's long, so, but we're going to be talking about...
It's down to get friction on.
Oh, that's right. We're going to be talking about the first Amish... individual ever convicted of murder.
Oh.
So it is a pretty interesting...
Dude, if he ends up in the electric chair, I'm going to shit all over your room.
Oh, man.
All right,
spoiler
I'm telling
alert.
You right now. If
spoiler
he ends up
alert.
In the electric chair, I'm shitting all over your room, and I'm just walking out.
Thank God my room's going to stay shit for tonight.
Oh.
At least your shit. But yeah, we'll get to that, though.
You can still trigger it another way.
If you don't want to hear all of our nonsense, and you just want to hear the story... I'll put the start time in the description of when the story starts for
you
guys.
Think people like this?
I thought we'd maybe start trying that.
Oh.
You know, I feel like it's an insult to us that people don't like our banter and our hilarious anecdotes. But I also want podcast numbers to go up.
Sure.
So I'm willing.
I mean, we're like this during the story, too.
I'm willing to take the hit.
All right.
And let people skip
try
all of our shenanigans.
I mean, try some shit. I want more listeners, so...
Yeah, and I think I know what's going to get us more listeners.
What's that?
That we become the USFL podcast.
Oh. Bum, 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 bum! That's an NFL,
we're going to get sued. yeah. But
theirs is like, bum, 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 ching, bum.
That's right, that's right. So, big news.
Yeah.
This Saturday. The United States Football League makes its return to existence.
USA.
USA. USFL. USFL.
Yeah, I don't think Trump's involved this time.
No, I don't think so.
I hope not. There's eight teams.
Eight teams.
Have you told me to look into it? Yeah. Well, I was already looking into it.
So what do you know about the USFL?
Just that it was around like back in the 80s and that like Warren Mood actually played there before the NFL. Like some players actually picked the USFL over the NFL and they just didn't. I didn't like watch the documentary. I'm sure it was like a 30-30. I don't know exactly why it failed, but I mean Donald Trump was involved, so
yeah. So
I don't think it did so good. They had to stop. They're like, guys, we can't take this.
That is not. Yeah, that's
the
not
football's so good. The money's so much. This has to stop.
So yeah, the USFL, it started in 1983. It only had three seasons, 83 through 85.
Yeah, I was 4 and 7.
Okay, I was. That was the 83 was the year I was born. So I was born with the USFL. But
you lasted longer than the USFL.
I did.
Congratulations.
Shocked.
That's also the year WrestleMania started, 1983.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always just aged with WrestleMania. Uh-huh. So the 86 season was supposed to be the first one played in direct competition against the NFL, but they never got that far.
Yeah.
So, in 84...
It'd be like the Monday Night Wars all over again, except before that.
Yeah.
Not really wrestling.
And it would have lasted about a week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and they made that decision because of Trump. So, Trump was the majority owner of the New Jersey Generals.
I'm sorry, who?
Donald Trump.
Okay. I was like, Charlie Trump?
Charlie Trump.
Dennis Trump? Like, who are you talking about? I'm going to write that down so I can remember it. Donald Trump. Bah.
Ugh, I don't like that you wrote it down, and you wrote it on my table.
It's there forever.
So, there was like a big lawsuit with the NFL and the USFL, too.
Yeah.
And
like, you can't play football, we play football. Meh!
The USFL won,
but
was only awarded a judgment of $1.
Oh.
And then it was.
But that was a lot of money back in 1983.
Yes, yes.
Goddamn $1. That was like $10,000 at least, I'd say.
Give or take.
Yeah,
like 9,990 something. Yeah. But so this was an antitrust lawsuit.
But you could probably definitely get a bag of candy and a can of soda for $1 in 1983.
In 83? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you walk to the corner store, you're getting that.
You can get like four handfuls of candy,
uh-huh.
A Mountain Dew,
yeah.
And a comic book. And have about 20 cents left
over. Sounds like they won to me.
Yes. So, yeah, you mentioned Warren Moon.
Yeah.
Some other notable players from the past.
Steve Young?
Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly, that's what
Steve Young.
Because Jim Kelly didn't want to go to Buffalo.
That's right.
He said some shitty shit about Buffalo. I watched a documentary about them losing the four Super
Bowls in a row. Or the three.
I can't remember the name of it, but it was really good. And, like, he didn't want to go to Buffalo. He didn't hide it back then.
Steve Young, like you said, Reggie White, and Herschel Walker.
Damn.
Marv Levy was a coach. But then, yeah, so you mentioned the... There was.
I was drinking. What if I spit toke at Marv Levy?
That would be weird.
I don't know why I was drinking.
You're
like, Marv Levy's a coach. What if I was just like,
and I think I think I was wrong about that, too. I don't think Marv Levy's the NBA announcer.
Yeah, you think... Wait, who's the coach of the Bills? The guy that took him to
was that Marv Levy?
I don't know.
But you mentioned a documentary.
I hope people skip past this straight to whatever this story is. This Amish fella.
So I do highly recommend the 30 for 30 special. It's called Small Potatoes, Who Killed the USFL.
Okay.
It's pretty interesting.
I love documentaries.
But yeah, so like you said, we're
current day. It's starting Saturday.
It's back. Eight teams.
Going to be divisions.
a 10 game schedule. With the teams in the same division playing each other twice and teams in another division once. Two top teams in each division
like
will play against each other in the semifinals, followed a week later by the championship game. We have, in the North, the Michigan Panthers, the New Jersey Generals, the Philadelphia Stars, and the Pittsburgh Maulers.
Yep.
I think most of these are the original teams, at least the New Jersey Generals, Philadelphia Stars, and a couple others. We got the...
It seems all so close together. Like, not like close, but I mean for like as far as like a national sporting league. Because the South is definitely more spaced out.
In the South, we got the Birmingham.
Birmingham,
in England. Stallions.
How are they going to have, if it's the USFL, how are they going to have a team from England?
That's Birmingham. Or Birmingham.
Don't talk down to me.
Birmingham.
Oh, that's not the place in England?
This is Birmingham.
Alabama?
We're going to Birmingham.
Alabama.
You were talking about Birmingham.
Are you talking about Alabama?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Then there's the Houston Gamblers.
I hope they get Baker Mayfield. He needs a team.
The New Orleans Breakers and the Tampa Bay Bandits.
The Bandits.
I think Baker's going to end up with the Colts.
Colts?
No, the Colts got not the Colts.
The Seahawks.
The Seahawks.
But they just signed Geno Smith back as a backup. But still, Baker Mayfield's better than Drew Locke and Geno Smith. Even if they like got on top of each other like in a trench coat, you're like, oh, I'm a 7'6 quarterback.
That'd be a terrible quarterback, actually.
I know, but Baker Mayfield's better than that.
Like, as soon as you got to his legs, he's falling and he's not getting up for a while. So, what's that?
I think there's two guys in there.
So,
no, I'm definitely one guy.
First game is this Saturday at 7:30. New Jersey Generals
in the morning.
Birmingham.
That's early. I'm about to set my alarm.
But the Birmingham Stallions. Are either of those your teams?
What were they again?
The New Jersey Generals and the Birmingham Stallions.
My team is actually the New Jersey Generals.
Okay.
I put a lot of thought into this.
Okay.
And that's the team that I came up with.
So tell me what's your.
Well, first off, I'm a North guy.
All right.
You know, like AFC North. I mean, just high in the high valley. Like I can't fuck with the South. I like the South. I'll go visit it. But
okay.
I've never liked a team from the South, and I'm not going to start now. Not
gotcha.
From the USFO.
Gotcha, okay.
And in the North, you have Michigan Panthers. Fuck them.
Right.
Because it's Michigan. And also, are there Panthers in Michigan?
Never once.
They're like, oh, we have the Wolverines. What else? What other kind of clawed
probably
animal?
Not even in the zoo.
So I think a person who's probably never played football and never seen an animal name this team. So fuck the Michigan Panthers. And Pittsburgh Maulers?
Right.
Are they the Mauler Rats?
Mm-mm.
I don't even want to do that because I don't want to associate Kevin Smith in that great movie.
And it's spelled differently. So,
I know it is, but it's a reach of a play on words.
Terrible name.
Yeah. Yeah, so fuck them. And then it was between the Philadelphia Stars and the New Jersey Generals. So I did a little digging and I looked at their logo.
Okay.
And the Stars logo has a red and a yellow star, which is two. But the Generals logo has five stars in it.
So,
I mean, that's like three more stars.
That's just math.
And then if you look at their uniform, the Philadelphia Stars look like fucking McDonald's employees.
Yeah.
With their red and yellow fucking jerseys.
Looks like
and
the
shit.
Niners, kind of.
And then the Generals look really cool when they're red and white.
Yeah.
Kind of look like the Bulls, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, it was a no-brainer.
Okay.
Well, it was a brainer because I had to think about it. There's my cat sitting on my lap. That's the other picture.
All right.
I'm looking at screenshots that I've saved about this.
So you're going New Jersey Generals?
Yep.
All right. And that game, I will go with you.
Okay.
I'll take the Generals.
But who's your team?
So my team, though, is in the next game of the weekend. The Houston Gamblers are taking on the Michigan Panthers. My team, the Houston Gamblers.
Okay. I was like, what's worse, the South team or the fucking Panthers?
I'm definitely not taking Michigan.
Good. Okay.
So, I mean, the Gamblers.
You're a cowboy.
You might want to check out their uniforms.
Oh, I can't.
They're pretty sweet. But, you know.
Do they wear cowboy hats?
I hope so. But, you know, I am a gambler.
Yeah?
You know.
You are.
I'm a rambler. Yeah, a bit of a cowboy.
Yep, you're a cosmic cowboy.
Cosmic cowboy, if you will.
If you will.
So, also, you know,
these are pretty cool jerseys. That black and red. And then the G, they have the state of Texas inside the G logo.
So, you know.
That's fucking pretty cool.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah. That's a cool hat.
I'm not going to order that.
I mean, it has the state of Texas in it, but it's also got a G, and that's what my last name starts
your
with.
Last name starts with.
And however I can make it about me. And that's who Kelly played for, I believe. There's a Jim Kelly gambler's jersey mm-hmm. for $119. And if you love me, you'll buy it for me.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see what happens.
Keep your eye on your mailbox, champ.
So, a few reasons I went with them, other than the awesome uniforms and me being a gambler. Their first game is against Michigan Panthers, which we talked about, and the Michigan Panthers coach is Jeff Fisher. I hate Jeff Fisher.
From the Tennessee Titans?
From the Tennessee Titans.
Wow!
So I hope
I would have spit took if I was drinking when you said Jeff Fisher. Marv Levy, which I'm pretty sure that is...
Yeah, because Steve Albert.
Steve Albert,
the
yeah.
NBA
but there's also like
Marv
a
Albert.
Marv Albert's
the NBA. Jesus Christ. Marv Levy is the Bills.
We do coach. Not do drugs. If you're out there wondering. We do not.
But also on the Gamblers, they got a running back from Florida named Mark Thompson, who is a JUCO All-American, and he is compared to Derrick Henry.
If you're a running back, it's good to juke.
Yes.
Like, that's one of
the... And be compared to Derrick Henry.
Uh-huh.
So...
Another Tennessee Titan.
I'm pretty sure they are going to just dominate the USFL this season.
Once they hear this...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all in.
Once this hits the airwaves in Texas...
And you best...
They're going to play this in the locker room.
You best believe I am gambling on the Gamblers every week.
Okay. And I'm going to root for the Gamblers unless they play my...
Right.
Philadelphia.
So this week,
and plus the Generals, like, the highest rank out of all those teams.
You're not wrong.
Like, I don't think a Panther can even enter the military.
So this week we're both.
So good luck becoming a General, Panther.
So we're both going with our teams.
Yeah.
Like in each
like
other's
me
teams.
Spiritually, you like financially. You're,
so
you're betting, right?
The Stars, the Philadelphia Stars, and the New Orleans Breakers. Who you got?
What, the Stars and the Breakers?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Stars because fuck the South.
All right. I'll stick with the South. I'll go with the Breakers. And then the last game of the weekend, of the first of the opening weekend, the Tampa Bay Bandits at the Pittsburgh Maulers.
Tampa Bay. I can't ever root
you
for
can't.
The Pittsburgh team.
Okay.
Ever.
I'm
sorry.
I'll go with the Maulers. I'll root for them.
If
so,
Baker Mayfield goes to Pittsburgh, I mean, I wouldn't. I don't know. I like to see Baker do good, but I can't ever...
He might like get a hold of them and be like, "Hey, I fucking hate the Browns.
Yeah.
Bring me in.
Like, pay me the 18, and I'll low key give you back $17 million, or he's guaranteed."
Oh, because the Ravens
million.
Aren't getting. I was just say, is there another team? But because the Ravens aren't
the
getting.
Steelers just lost a quarterback.
Yeah,
so
he might do it.
I don't know.
So, have you heard about like the rules of the USFL? Some of the things they're doing. So there's going to be a 3-point try. Which, after a scoring touchdown...
Oh, I might have them, but keep going.
The teams will have the choice of going for 1, 2, or 3 points. An extra point being the same as it is in the NFL. A 2-point conversion being a 2-point conversion. And a 3-point try, it's basically the same as a 2-point conversion, but it starts at the 10-yard line.
Okay.
So, yeah.
There's no field goals, is there? Are there field goals or no kickoffs?
I don't think there's any kickoffs.
Okay.
They also do...
Not bad something. There's no onside kicks. They
well, no, they have an alternative.
Yeah.
So, you can
Which I
do
like. It. I mean, the onside kick's exciting, but it hardly ever goes. And I like kind of this new idea they have.
You can kick the onside kick if you want. But, second option is teams try to convert on a 4th and 12.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what that means, though. Like... Wait, so
they probably just like put you on the whatever yard line, and
but I'm assuming that doesn't count if it, you have like 4th and 20 to go.
No, I wouldn't think so.
You'd still have to do the 4th and 20,
yeah.
Right?
This is like you have this is after a score.
After a score,
when
you're
instead
right.
of kicking off, you just you can say, "Well, I'm gonna," and if you don't get it, then they probably get it like on the 30-yard line,
yeah.
or wherever you kick off from, you know.
The clock will stop following first down during the final 2 minutes of the 2nd and 4th quarters. That allows for
like
some
college.
More Lawrence College. And then overtime, best of 3 scoring format where each offense will get the ball at the opponent's 2-yard line. If the two teams are still tied after 3 attempts, overtime will go into a sudden death, which I like. So no ties.
Yeah, so but both teams get the ball.
Yeah.
So
it fixes a couple of problems.
Yeah.
So, right. yeah. Big USFL podcast right here.
So when you think USFL, you think middle-aged.
And mediocre. We may honestly end up being around longer than the USFL.
Yeah.
If you take all of our podcasts together, we're what,
I'd
5
say,
years
yeah,
in?
Yeah,
we've definitely. So we've already beat them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've beaten them. We've beaten them. Good luck recovering from that, USFL. All
right. So
I wish them well. I mean, I think it's good to have. I hope they don't go up against the NFL. I like it like this, where like they're going to be in the offseason of
the
NFL. Well,
what's the XFL going to do?
I think they're going to be probably competing with USFL.
Oh, well, they'll murder them.
You think?
I mean, they're going to have the NFL partnered with them.
Yeah, but USFL gets a
and
head
the Rock.
Start. But USFL's getting a head start. They
Does
got
the
Fox,
USFL
they got Fox
have,
and NFC, NBC?
Do they have, like, Stone Cold on their side? Because the XFL has The Rock.
Okay.
So, unless USFL has...
I think they have Barry Horowitz.
Oh, well, poor bastards.
And Jeff Fisher.
Oh, fuck Jeff Fisher. That dumb bastard. NASCAR-looking fucker.
I like how you just defend like two different sets, like Titan fans and NASCAR fans. God, fuck yourself.
No, I don't. I think the Titans. I think Titans fans hate Jeff Fisher.
Ah, I don't know. He did a lot. I mean,
until like his last, like the after like they didn't
the whole Vince Young thing. I think kind of.
I think after like their best season when they still couldn't make the Super Bowl, that's when he was like, ah, fuck it, and just started doing dumb shit every season.
Was he their coach in Houston too? Their last year in Houston.
I feel like he was.
Yeah, nobody knows though.
Yeah, Jeff Fisher sucks.
Like, you're like, I'm not even looking him up on my computer.
I'm not.
This is a Jeff Fisher free zone.
All right, we should take a break and then we should get into the story.
Oh, we just lost a listener.
It is a long story.
Jeff Fisher, if you're listening, just stick around, okay? Stick around.
Well, if you're the American Dad Jeff Fisher, if you're the football real life Jeff Fisher, fuck off.
Oh. So don't.
But if you're the
cartoon
character from American Dad, Jeff Fisher.
But if you have a real one, stick around.
No. If you're the real one, I don't want you as a fan.
I want you around, Jeff.
You listen to Joel as part. You do not listen to me. I don't give you approval. I don't respect
man.
You. I don't respect you as a human.
Oh.
I don't know why I have so much.
I know. Let's take a break.
All right.
Let you cool off.
We'll be right back. And we're back.
So that's how I'm going to be a millionaire.
I think it's a good plan.
Uh-huh.
I don't see any holes in it. You think what, like 6 months to a year?
I'd give it at least a year and a half, 2 years.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good luck, man.
Hey, thanks.
I hate that all those people have to die, but, you know, whatever.
No, you don't. Nah. No, you don't. That's your favorite part.
Yeah, I did, like, giggle when you said it. All right. So,
speaking of people dying.
Speaking of it.
That was a good...
So we're going to get into the story of Edward Gingerich, or Gingerich. I don't know. I'm going to call him Gingerich.
Okay.
I'm going to call him Ed.
Let's call him Gingerish. Let's call him Ed Sheeran.
Yes, it's Ed Sheeran. Ed
Ginger
Sheeran.
Motherfucker.
Ed Sheeran, however you say his name.
We can call him Ed.
So, yeah, he is the first Amish fella to be convicted of murder. I want to get into a little bit of the backstory of the Amish. I don't know if you know a whole lot about...
They don't like electricity.
So they are...
They become men at night?
No, that's a separate group.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. But
I thought it was like a werewolf
good
situation.
Play on words, though. I like it. Might be, actually. So they're a religious group who lives in settlements in 22 states.
Yeah, and we got them in West Virginia and Ohio.
And also Ontario, Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Ontario, eh?
Hey.
They are all about, community, family, self-sufficiency. Definitely that whole...
I've seen Sex Drive.
Uniformity. They want everybody to kind of be the same.
Yeah.
So they were part of the early...
I've seen Kingpin.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Is that the best Amish movie ever? Or Witness?
What's the one with Tim Allen?
Oh.
Christy Alley, where he's like, I milk the cow. Whoa. And they're like, we don't have a cow. We got a bull. And then, like, he's drinking. Or is that the same movie?
Amish movie.
Tim Allen did one where he had to, like, go undercover.
For richer or poorer.
Okay.
Was the Tim Allen one.
Fuck, what year was that? Let's just talk about that.
1997.
Okay, 97.
Yeah. The Witness was the Richard Gere.
Okay, I didn't see that one.
I think that's what it
is. I really like Sex Drive. I think that's a really funny movie, but it's not really... There's like a small Amish part.
I think I made up that Witness thing.
Sounds like you.
Sounds...
They talk about Ramistan.
Oh, no, that's right. Harrison Ford, not Richard Gere.
All
right. So, yeah. So, they were a part of an early movement in Europe called the Anabaptists.
Anna.
Baptists.
Okay.
They believe that only adults who had confessed their faith should be baptized and that they should remain separate from the larger society. So, back in the day, many Catholics and Protestants put most Anabaptists to death, considering them heretics.
I mean, that's one way to treat them.
Yes.
I was going to be like, well, you know, maybe I don't agree with that, but that's fine.
No,
that's fine.
Murder.
You're not hurting anybody. Okay, try it.
Oh, is this your introduction to religion?
Yes.
This is the first you're hearing about this?
So their first instinct was like, let's just kill them.
Yeah.
In a Christian way.
That's kind of religion's game. Yeah.
I'm not a religious person, you know? I learned the golden rule, and I was like, I bounced after that. I was like, I think that's all I need.
Yeah.
That's fucking karma, basically.
Right.
So, but keep going. I'll entertain this little religious story.
So, the Anabaptists that survived, they quickly fled to places like Switzerland and Germany just to escape religious persecution, which, that's irony. Here began the Amish tradition of farming and holding their worship services in homes rather than churches. So, in 1536, a dude named Menno Simons.
Menno. I like that.
M-E-N-N-O. I do like it. He joined the Anabaptist movement. His writings united a lot of the groups, and those groups were nicknamed the Mennonites.
Oh.
So, Mennonites. Which then came along a Swiss.
Now that's a spit take.
Came along a Swiss bishop named Jacob Amann. He broke away from the Mennonite church in 1693.
When I play chess, I like a swift bishop.
I don't get that at all.
That's one of the pieces, and you move them quickly.
Oh.
Get them out on the board. But this is a Swiss bishop, and I'm sorry that I interrupted.
So,
God damn it.
So he,
people want to skip past it. This is the thing that people want to skip past.
No, not this.
Me.
Your chess jokes are what people will come here for.
Well, mark that in the beginning. So, the first chess jokes appears.
So Jacob Amann, however you say it, he broke away from the Mennonite church in 1693. His followers were called the
Amish.
So they do share a lot of the same beliefs. They differ, though, in like dress, language, form of worship, everything.
Language.
They interpret the Bible differently.
Yeah.
So,
but they're all white.
Yeah.
They're all white as fuck.
Oh, yeah. Very, very white.
Wow. I don't think... Okay. I'm not going to say it out loud, but okay.
So both groups came over to America, and they settled in Pennsylvania.
Yep, that sounds about Dutch country.
Yep, there you go. So the...
Do you know there's an intercourse, Pennsylvania?
Oh, I've been there.
Oh, I bet you have.
Yeah. No, I've been all over that.
You've been all up in it.
So modern-day Amish are basically still just like old-school Amish.
Yeah.
Shit
don't change.
There's the old order.
Uh-huh.
Those are the groups that drive horses and buggies rather than cars. They do not use electricity.
Uh-uh.
Their children go to private one-room schoolhouses and not public schools. Children only attend school through the 8th grade. After that, it is time to get to work and get yourself a wife. Make some damn children.
Hell yeah.
So.
I'm starting to come off a little late for me now, but 8th grade me would have been down for that.
I think you can just wander back into like an Amish place and just be like, I tried Rumspringa and I do not like it.
I got the beard.
Yeah. So I think you can just get rid of their like.
The doctor where I work calls me, sometimes they'll call me like Ezekiel and stuff. And
you punch him for that? Oh, like, it's not my name.
Yeah. That's not my name.
So.
Fast forward that part.
Yeah. So during the spring of 1983, that is.
Oh.
I was born that year.
WrestleMania was born. USFL was born.
In case you guys forgot.
And I was just being four. Nobody gives a shit when you're four.
Nobody gives a shit when you're four years old. That song just turned 23 yesterday.
Yeah.
The Blink-182 song. That nobody likes it now.
That means I was like 6 years old when it came out.
That was a lot older. So, spring of 1983, Danny and Mary Gingerich, along with 8 sons and daughters, left their home in Norwich, Ontario.
Okay, we get it. They be fucking.
They be fucking. And they moved to a remote area of Pennsylvania.
Like, he has to stop fucking to birth a child. Like, wait, here comes one. And the baby comes out. Yeah,
you're not taking time in between.
He's like, oh, I'm going back in.
Their new home was in Crawford County, Pennsylvania. 30 miles south of the city of Erie. The closest town, Mill Village, consisted of nothing more than a few houses and a handful of buildings. The Gingerich family was the first of 7 Amish clans to make the journey to what would later become known as the Brown Hill Settlement.
Oh, they were the first.
So Edward D. Gingerich, son of Danny and Mary, was just 18 years old during the relocation. He was nothing like his father. His father was all about the old order Amish, how you did things in the old days and tradition. Ed was the opposite. He was lazy, moody, short-tempered. That's not the Amish way. He had completed his 8 grades of Amish education while in Canada. The Amish do not feel that their children need more education than what the first 8 grades can provide. There's some validity there.
I don't use algebra a lot. I don't use chemistry a lot.
Now, what's interesting is they do go ahead and pay, like, school taxes. Because, they're in the, I guess you have to, places have city school taxes and
There's laws and rules.
There's all kinds of taxes you have to pay, in case you didn't know.
We can't have anarchy.
But still, they fought to make sure that their kids did not have to actually go to those schools. They're like, we'll fucking pay your taxes, but we're not stepping foot. And in 72, the Supreme Court handed down a unanimous decision, which exempted the Old Order Amish and the related groups from attendance laws beyond the 8th grade. So, by June of 85, the Brown Hill Settlement had grown to 13 families with a total population of 93 people.
I thought you were going to be like 876.
93.
They all be fucking.
Danny Gingrich had built a diesel-powered sawmill. So the Amish are allowed to use gas-powered machinery.
Okay. I don't think I like that.
So the way they see it is gas is a natural resource, so that must mean God put it there. So that's how they get away with
it. But they don't, I'm sure it's like refined gas.
Well, they are not looking in the semantics of things.
Bunch of pussies.
So Ed started helping out his dad in the sawmill, and the older Amish and everything were very impressed with his natural
ability to work.
But then Ed ended up befriending a local Englishman, which is what they call everybody that's not them.
Yeah.
The Englishman. His name was Richard Zimmer. Indeed. So Ed would oftentimes avoid church by faking illness and then go over and hang out at old Rich Zimmer's.
So probably playing Atari.
Probably. 83, he was 18. Yeah. Or no, 85. Yeah. So as their friendship grew, Ed began to confide in Zimmer that he did not really understand the Amish way of life. And he kind of just disliked having to work. He wasn't a big fan of that.
Oh, yeah.
He told Richard Zimmer that he was thinking about leaving the Amish faith, but that he was not sure how he was going to be able to do it. He said he felt trapped by all of the rules, and he just did not want to live by those rules anymore. But then he met 21-year-old Katie Shelter. She was an energetic, hardworking young woman who exemplified what it meant to be Old Order Amish. Her father, Levi, was one of the most respected elders in the community, while her mother, Emma, worked hard to keep the family running smoothly with 5 children. So Ed and Katie...
Only 5?
Yeah, that is, get the move on there,
yeah.
Emma. So Ed and Katie...
Oh, God.
They dated on and off for about a year, and then Ed started to feel like there was some pressure coming from the elders that, hey, it's about time you get married, right?
Yeah. You're in 9th grade, aren't you?
You guys touched hands once, right? So in his own family, he was next in line to be married. And for Katie, she was fearing that she was going to be passed over for marriage.
Oh.
So they ended up getting together. So he proposes to her. And the Amish couples have to go through a lot of things before they get married. Proper certification of membership must be requested from the church. All couples that plan to marry are published, and the deacon is responsible for announcing the names of the girls and the men they plan to marry. The father announces the date and time of the wedding and invites the members. The couple does not attend church service on the Sunday they are published. Instead, the young woman prepares a meal for her fiancé, and they enjoy dinner alone at home.
Oh, I know what that means.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know what means.
Yeah, home-cooked meal.
Oh, yeah.
When the girl's family returns from church, the daughter formally introduces her fiancé to her parents. Unlike English engagements, the future groom does not give her a diamond. He may give her china or a clock.
Or a potato.
Or a potato. Because you can make electricity out of potatoes, right?
Yeah, you could.
With like the, don't you do that with the, something or other in school that happened with a potato?
Like a battery and a potato or something?
I think that's what it is. You jam a battery in there.
I think it is. I think you eat them both. And the electricity's inside you. Much like the power of Christ.
So on December 2nd, 1986, Ed married Katie. A bunch of friends and family came down. Katie had her dark blue dress on because blue was the only color you're allowed to wear for in a wedding.
Because you're sad as shit.
I guess it's the typical one. Let me see here. Let me skip past some of the specifics of the wedding that aren't really important. All right. So the 3-hour long service began with the congregation singing hymns while the minister counseled Ed and Katie privately. So after Bishop Rudy and the young couple returned to the room, a prayer, scripture reading, and a long sermon began. Following the sermon, the bishop asked Katie and Ed to step forward from their seat. Then he questioned them about the marriage to be, which I guess is similar to the English wedding vows. The bishop then blessed the couple, and the fathers of the couple gave testimony. So it's a whole long-ass thing that goes on. Following the wedding ceremony, there was, you know, the big party for everybody. The newlyweds' first night together is always spent at the bride's home because they must get up early the next day to help clean the house.
Jesus.
In Ed and Katie's case, they would have to live in her parents' basement until spring when their home could be constructed. So in March of 87, Ed's family constructed a 1-story house for Katie and Ed. The home was intended to be a temporary residence until Katie would begin to bear children. That did not take long, and shortly after moving into their new home, Katie was pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
Ed was not happy about this. But he
thought his pull-out game was strong.
Yeah, yeah. He basically wasn't happy, but he said, well, I hope it's at least a boy. So on September 20th, 1987... they did have a boy, Little Cooley. Oh, that's what the village they were in. What's the name? The child was named Danny E.
I bet he had a beautiful beard.
So he did not like being a father. He wasn't thrilled with it right off the bat. He didn't like the demands that came with having a newborn.
You gotta remember, he is a lazy piece of shit.
Yes.
Okay.
So he started just staying at the mill later and later instead of coming home to have to take care of the kid. During the summer of 88, he constructed a machine shop next to the sawmill, and that's where he just would spend most of his time. He seldom spoke to Katie, ignored the kid, came and went as he pleased. And regardless of his behavior, Amish wives stick by their husbands. Mm-hmm. So Katie was...
standing by her man.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sing it.
But aren't you?
I'm not going to.
Come on.
No.
No. You can do it.
I don't want to. Stand by your man.
All right. So by July of 88, changes in Ed's behavior became more apparent. He didn't eat much. He lost a lot of weight, started complaining about dizzy spells. He would also come home in the afternoons and would spend hours behind closed doors sleeping. Katie started to wonder if he was seriously ill or not.
Yo, you illin?
You ill?
Yo, you illin?
So, finally, they decide to get some medical attention for Ed.
Yeah.
Katie's what's parents...
The Amish took him to, like, their head cow.
This...
It was like, head cow, sniff the spots that are bad.
This is... What happens is mind-blowing to me.
Yeah? More than
I mean, that would be very mind-blowing, but absurd. So they finally decide, you know, Katie's parents suggest a medical doctor in a nearby town, but Katie was like, nah, that's good. I already made an appointment with Dr. Merritt W. Terrell, a chiropractor.
All right.
So that's who you want to go to when you're sick. His office was nothing more than a tiny 1-story house, marked only with a sign that read drugless therapy.
No thanks.
So while Dr. L was deemed a fast-talking folk doctor by most English, he was considered a healer by the Amish, and treated hundreds of Amish patients from Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, New York, Pennsylvania, and Ontario. At first glance, Doc appeared to be like a Barnum and Bailey, like circus collar.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. He was 66 years old, about 5'5", wore cowboy boots at all times, had piercing blue eyes, and always had a cowboy hat on. He never had a coat and tie, anything like that, or like, you know, scrubs, or the big jacket.
Yeah.
So the Amish appreciated his simple, non-scientific methods and were grateful that he did not make them get x-rays or do like blood work. They liked the, you know, none of that fancy.
The things that make you a doctor.
None of that fancy doctor.
Yeah.
So they, Ed and
Katie. Oh my God.
Ed and Katie get there. Like I said, it's just a one little story house.
The Amish would definitely vote for Trump.
Oh.
I like him because he's not a politician.
The receptionist handed Ed a slip of paper on which he was instructed to write his name, date of birth, address, and symptoms.
You're healed.
That's it.
You just got to write it out.
After a brief wait, he goes back to the examination room. Ed is instructed to sit. The doc comes out from behind a curtain and feeds Ed's paper that he wrote out his stuff into like this little, like a little thing that looks kind of like a small fax machine.
Yeah.
So he shoves it in there. The machine.
Is this how Scientology was born?
It seems like
it. Man, we are just diving deep into religion today.
The machine whirs and does its thing. Then after the paper's fed in, a series of numbers and codes are displayed.
So they like that he doesn't use electricity for like x-rays and shit like that.
Right.
But the little machine.
But his little machine.
Yeah, okay.
So it spits out a bunch of numbers and codes, and Doc Terrell looks at those.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how he does his thing. He interprets what the diagnosis and treatment is based on the numbers.
Okay, I should have given you time to explain them more.
Makes
now
sense,
it
right?
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Wow, looks like you're 7464-4467. Don't like those numbers.
Which was 4465.
Which there's a 3 in there somewhere. Well, I'm surprised
you're
still
alive.
Your
life. So, in Ed's case...
Your number's up.
Would you want to take a guess as to what Ed's diagnosis was?
He was working way too hard, and he just needed just rest.
So that's what you think the treatment is? Rest?
Yeah, rest.
Okay, nope. In Ed's case, the machine...
build 5 barns and call me in the morning.
The machine revealed that he needed a toe pulling and a foot rub.
Oh.
So, he...
A toe pulling.
I don't know what... I mean, I guess that is...
That's how I tortured my daughter. I'm like, I'm gonna crack them toes!
Get them piggies. So in Ed's... Oh, so Ed's... he gets the treatment. He gets the toe pull and the foot rub. And then he... walks back into the reception area, pays $25, and is given a jar of blackstrap molasses, which is supposed to purify his blood. And then he's sent on his way, and he, you know, as far as Doc is concerned, he's cured. He did it.
Yeah, yeah. We pulled them toes.
So the months pass by, and Ed, he's not getting better.
Hmm.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Because they did the toe pull. So, you know, they have follow-up visits with Doc in August, September, and December. Doc keeps, you know, giving him the old pull and rub or whatever he's doing.
The tuck and rub?
The tuck and rub.
Man, now that you say it like that, I could really use a tuck and rub.
Give me five cc's of a tuck and rub.
Stat! Nurse! Nurse!
So he actually seemed to be getting worse. Not better,
man.
Which is, you know, just crazy.
I know.
So March 21st, 1989, 4 days after her 25th birthday, Katie gives birth to another boy.
Her 20th.
And this child, this is only her second.
Oh, okay.
This child was named Enos.
Enos.
Ed was neither upset nor
That's
overjoyed.
That's an old person name. Like, I think about that, man. Some of the old people come into work. I think, man, you were like a little tiny baby just named like Frank.
Just
named like Gary. Like, how do you look a little baby? And you're like, oh, Gary.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Enos.
So.
Like, that's a little old lady with white hair. That's not a baby.
Well, it's Mike Enos. Remember
Mike
him?
Enos. Yeah. He was in the ring when Scott Hall debuted.
So, you know.
R.I.P. Scott Hall.
Right.
It all comes back to wrestling.
It just all comes back to it.
This is the stuff people want to fast forward, Josh.
It's crazy.
We can't be talking about wrestling in here, you know?
Oh, I know. So, Ed was neither upset nor overjoyed by the birth of his second child. He doesn't give a shit.
He's like, God damn, I need my toes pulled. He's addicted to it.
So, Katie's family does not like Ed.
No?
But they keep their opinions of him to themselves.
Oh, I'm sure they do. They probably let it go in a passive-aggressive way. This barn would go up a lot easier if all Ed was here. good to see you, Frank. Wish you were Ed. I don't know.
So,
I don't know how the Amish talk.
Ed's problems persisted and were only compounded when tragedy befell the clan on the night of December 3rd, 1989. An English farmer, while driving west on Sturgis Road, saw flames shooting into the sky as he approached the nearby intersection. As the farmer drew closer, he discovered that the blaze was originating from the Gingerich's sawmill.
Oh, no.
By the time fire trucks got out there, it was too late. It was gone.
Well, it's wood. It's a lot of wood.
Yeah.
It's a sawmill. It's not a concrete plant. But that's fine.
So, now he doesn't have the sawmill. He basically has...
he's just got to be around them damn kids all the time.
Yeah, he's running out of reasons to not be around. So, Amish, of course, did not believe in insurance, so the mill was just a total loss. Nonetheless, even without believing in insurance...
Amish don't have insurance?
They do. I appreciate what they actually do. They actually band together in their communities, see who needs financial help, and they make sure they're taken care of.
Fuck that. I don't even know my neighbor's name.
Well, there's no reason.
Don't look at me!
There's no reason to know them.
I stay in my car when I see them get we both pull up. I'm looking for shit in my car.
It's
like, where is that? And I wait for them to get inside
all the
their
time.
House and I scurry inside.
All the time I do that. Yeah. Who the hell wants to know their neighbors?
Oh, your house burned down. I'll build you another one.
So, yeah, we couldn't be Amish.
I mean, I'll give you some money to help build one, you know, but I'm not going to get out there and build it.
So,
I got all these PS2 games to go through.
Yeah. So, Ed, he makes some plans and makes it his mission to build a new mill because he does not want to be around his fucking family.
I need this mill.
So, he wants to, he includes some plans to kind of make it more modern so they can make more, produce more and make more of a profit. He does have to get permission, however, from Bishop Shetler, who is Katie's dad. He was fine with that. He gave Ed permission to build as long as he agreed to only hire Amish workers and not make the mill too modern. Ed's obsession with modern mechanics was
for us by us.
Yeah. Was displeasing to the bishop, and he strictly advised that I was told once that I shouldn't wear when I first started wrestling, like, so I was 17. I had a FUBU jersey. It was like a hockey jersey.
Yeah.
And I wore it over while we were leaving for a wrestling trip. And, like, the promoter told me that I could not wear that. Like, I better take that off because if anybody saw me in that, they were going to kick my ass for representing their collars. And I was like, I don't think they are, though. Like, what world do you live
in? Yeah, I had a friend tell me not to wear a bandana for that reason. Like, they're going to think you're in a gang. I'm like, who's going to look at me and be like, oh, I got to be in a gang.
So
that guy's definitely in an inner city gang. No, I don't like, yeah.
Okay, so
I'm glad you got the FUBU reference.
As Ed is working on new plans for the mill, Katie discovers that she's pregnant again. And Ed is pissed.
He's like, how's this keep happening?
That's kind of where I was going. Like, I don't think he understood what was happening. He was just like, you did it again. He thought it was something Katie was doing. So on March 13, 1990, 4 days before her 26th birthday, she celebrates every birthday with a new baby. Katie gives birth to a baby girl. This one
who instantly gets to work.
This kid is named Mary.
Mary, you've been laying there for 5 minutes. Get up there and clean.
And of course, Ed does not pay any attention whatsoever to Katie or the newborn. So they get the mill built. Ed's, you know, got something to do again. But problems with him and Katie continue to grow. Ed is refusing to have sex with Katie because he knows what's happening now.
I know what goes on.
So he refuses
to have sex. You can tuck my toes, but that's where I draw the line.
He's like, turns out I'm the reason you keep popping these kids out.
Yeah.
So he starts staying out late again. Whenever Ed would speak to Katie, he would frighten her with talk of modernization or leaving the Amish lifestyle. So Katie started fearing that if the bishop thought that Ed had these thoughts, that her and Ed and the family would be excommunicated for good.
Ooh, kicked out.
Yeah.
You trying to talk all fancy.
So an Amish bishop, you know, the bishop's number one enemy is a Christian evangelist. Is that how you say it?
Probably.
Evangelist.
Evangelist.
That's how you say it. Jesus.
Probably not.
So... yeah, throughout history, Christian missionaries have felt it their duty to spread their version of God's word to the Amish on several occasions.
Like, well, what if you're wrong?
will convert entire families.
Maybe they should kill them, you know?
Maybe.
All right, this is your last run at the Amish, Phil, okay? If you don't get them.
So it's around this time that Ed meets a young Englishman named David Lindsay. And David is all about getting Ed to turn to Christianity. So,
I got two first names, Ed. That could be you.
David basically immediately says, you know, he'd like to talk to you about changing your life. You got to accept Jesus in as your Lord and Savior. Ugh. And David was kind of just
that's
like
the worst conversation to ever have.
Ed really didn't give a shit about it, but he was happy to talk to somebody that wasn't Amish.
Yeah.
So he kind of befriends David. And really, like, he's just kind of wanting somebody else around.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, not to be around his fucking wife and kid. But David is just constantly, so, about that Jesus guy. Yeah. So, yeah. So.
How we talk about Jesus? Like, oh, Jesus. Yes.
So, David does keep coming around, though, hanging out with Ed. So.
See, you give those people just a little bit.
Yeah.
That's why he's got to slam the door.
And
in
he just
face.
Stays in Ed's ear about, hey, yeah. Well, Jesus, you know, don't forget Christianity. So, early October...
How you like crackers, Ed?
1990.
You like wine?
Ed began complaining of earaches and skin rashes. He'd also twisted his ankle and was limping. So, Katie made an appointment with, guess who? Dr. L.
Yeah, the chiropractor.
During the visit, Dr. L massaged Ed's ankle. Ooh. And prescribed a jar of blackstrap molasses. So, for the next year, Ed would either be at the sawmill or the machine shop. And David Lindsay would always be hanging out talking about old Jesus. So in September of 91, Ed's father...
I see David, like, putting his foot up on a chair. Like, Ed, let's rap about Jesus, pal.
Let's have a little rap about Jesus.
You know, he died for your sins. He died for your sins, Ed.
So September of 91, Ed begins the construction of the new home for Ed and Katie. And guess who didn't help with the construction of Ed and Katie's home?
Ed.
Yeah. So the bishop's pissed because able-bodied Amish men, like, just, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
They help. They work. So the house does get completed, though, without
Ed's
help. He
probably doesn't even babysit the kids, any.
Oh.
Man, you gotta babysit your own kids every now and then, so, fellas. That's dad tip number one. Take it from me. No.
So Ed's health is just getting fucking worse and worse and worse. Katie's trying to get him, like,
he's allergic to molasses.
Katie's trying to give him some herbal medicine, and he's saying, you're trying to poison me. I'm not going to take that. So,
it's probably some horny goat milk, or what's that stuff called? Like the natural boner stuff? Horny goat weed.
So,
trying to get that dick up so she can get fucking pregnant.
On Katie's 28th birthday... Ed.
She made a baby out of hay.
Ed's having nothing to do with her. You know, he probably doesn't even know it is her 28th birthday. He's in the machine shop, and he's using a product called Gunk, which is like a degreaser.
Uh-huh.
And it's solvent. It's like very hazardous to be in a closed room with this stuff.
Okay.
Because of the chemicals.
Yeah.
But he is.
He's huffing it up.
So he's in there for hours. Just, yeah, getting high as shit. So he goes in, tells Katie that his brain feels like it's on fire and everything's swollen, and then he just goes to bed. So he wakes up the next morning, has a really terrible headache, goes back out in the building, and does it all over again. So he's in there for 7 hours before finally coming out.
God damn!
And once again says, you know, hey, my fucking eyes hurt, my
head
hurts.
I'm going to bed.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stay up talking to you.
So David is the only, finally David comes over, and he's trying to figure out what that smell is.
Yeah.
And Ed tells him, and he's realizing, and he tells Ed, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? So he does kind of save Ed's life there.
That saved your life. Can we talk about Jesus?
So David and Ed spend the entire evening in the shop talking. When the two
shop
men
talk?
Finally... shop talk.
Whoa!
Let me see. So he comes inside. The children are fast asleep. Katie looks at him. She says, hey, you look really funny. What's wrong with you? He tells her again, I'm going to bed. I'm dizzy. My head
hurts.
Funny
like what? Funny like a clown? Funny like I make you laugh?
In the morning, Ed leaps out of bed, shakes Katie awake. And she could hear Ed talking to himself in a strange voice. She asks what he's doing, and he tells her he's had a vision from God.
Oh.
So she asks, what do you mean? He says, I tried to kill the old leader, but he won't die. I couldn't conquer him. She has no clue what the fuck he's talking about, of course, and asks him, what leader? What are you talking about? And he shouts, Bishop Shetler, I gotta kill the older leader to make room for the new religion. I couldn't do it because he wouldn't die. No matter how hard I tried, I couldn't kill him. The devil wants my soul. He's fighting Jesus for my soul. So, you know, that's what happens when you huff chemicals on
for days on end.
So, she finally gets a hold of Doc Terrell.
Because it's not to have phones. What the fuck is she going?
Yeah. So, Ed goes in, and they're, you know, he writes down his symptoms again, does the whole thing.
Have we tried pushing in on the toes?
So it was office. He lists the symptoms on a piece of paper. No appetite, forgetful, can't sleep.
Murder.
So it comes out on the other side. Treatment resulted in a shoulder rub, right foot manipulation, and another jar of blackstrap molasses. So he starts, you know, taking that shit again. He still has no interest whatsoever in Katie. And one night at church, Ed decides to tell the whole congregation.
So he's basically married with children where Al never wants to have sex with Peggy.
Which, what was that all about?
I know, man. Peggy was fine.
Yeah.
Like, I've been married. Like, I wish. Motherfucker's been like, all right, go on.
So.
Just go on, okay?
Ed just decides, he tells the entire congregation that an English friend has opened his eyes to God and Jesus Christ.
This guy's pretty cool, Jesus.
So, Ed says during in front of everyone, if I leave the Amish church, I can be saved. It's the only way. He has shown me passages in the Bible and the Book of John that says that faith alone is enough. Bishop Shetler is pissed and starts questioning him on everything. Ed just gets in a fight with the bishop and everybody in the congregation and starts back and forth about blasphemy and all this. So they finally all go home. Bishop Shetler basically says, I want nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
They all go home. So the next morning, Ed refuses to get out of bed.
Dreaming about.
What is it?
Basically what he's been dreaming about. Yeah. They won't let the new religion in.
Yeah. So,
I don't see this ending well.
The next morning, Ed refuses to get out of bed, and instead he lays in bed on his back, spitting up at the ceiling, just over and over again. Katie's trying to get him to get up, get out of bed. He just keeps spitting.
That's really unsanitary.
They go, and they get the bishop. He comes in and asks Ed, hey, what are you doing? Why are you spitting at the ceiling? And Ed tells him that his heart is tearing loose. He can feel it. And that he has to kill the older leader. He starts in on that again. So the bishop says that Ed has been possessed by the devil.
Says, bring that shit to me, Ed. There ain't nothing but air and opportunity betwixt us.
Betwixt.
Betwixt.
So
get
bishop,
out of bed and do something.
Bishop gets the whole community, or yells for the families and says they need to come and help pray against Satan.
Look at this lazy fuck.
As Ed's family and the elders enter his room, Ed begins flailing about, has to be restrained. Everybody's trying to get him to go to the doctor, but the bishop's saying it's just Satan. After all of this shit happens, the whole community starts to say maybe Ed is crazy.
Maybe.
Like, just a little bit.
Let's not go throwing around accusations of Brother Ed.
So, this time they decide maybe we shouldn't see Dr. O.
They're going to try something else.
Black molasses.
I mean, that's correct to them.
So they call...
Doing the same thing, expecting different results. What's that? Insanity.
That's right. So they call a man named Dr. Craig Caldwell. He was known to treat Amish patients.
And they said, I thought you're Amish. How you calling me?
That's right. And, yeah, I think they just, like, pass a note, keep going down until it gets somebody with a phone. So he makes house calls, too. So he comes to the house. He asks Ed, how you doing? Ed says, check to see if my heart's still there. I think it jumped out. So the doctor examines him while Ed continues to ramble about Jesus Christ and the bishop and all that. So Katie hands Dr. Caldwell a jar of the blackstrap molasses that Dr. Terrell keeps saying or keeps supplying him. And she says, is this what Ed needs? Yeah. Will this help? And Caldwell looks at the jar and reads the label. And he's like, no, this does absolutely nothing. This is doing nothing. So he writes Ed a
maybe
prescription.
Maybe making it worse. If anything, it's definitely making it worse.
This is mostly just sugar.
Who gave you this? Okay, that makes sense.
So the doctor writes a prescription for Ed for tranquilizers. And
he just needs to be drugged out of his mind.
He says, call me if he's not feeling better soon. So... anyone would feel great on tranquilizers. Like,
call me when he stops drooling.
So, he continues the same behavior, though.
Oh.
So they once again call, who do they call here? Oh, they call an ambulance this time. So, as the paramedics enter the home, Ed begins screaming not to kill him. He gets up, he starts running. His brothers have to tackle him. Finally, they get him stopped, and they're walking him out to the ambulance. As he walks past Katie, he looks over to her and smiles at her, like mocking her, like a shit-eating grin.
Yeah.
With
a Cheshire cat grin.
Yes.
Is that how you say it?
Cheshire. Worcestershire
sauce. Yes. Thank you.
So, he smiles at her, and Katie walks up to him and punches him right in the face.
Oh, shit.
And knocks him off his ass. Knocks him onto his ass. So he gets up. It takes 7 men to restrain him.
Oh.
And they get him. So he's going to fuck up Katie. So, it restrains him and straps him to the ambulance cot. They tell Katie...
Well, she wiped that smile off his face.
They tell Katie that they're going to take him to the hospital in Erie. And Katie gets a neighbor to agree to drive them up to follow, go to Erie. So they get him to Hammett Medical Center's emergency room. Ed is calm. He's cooperating. The doctor was actually disturbed that they had him in restraints because he was so calm and collected. Yeah. So, Ed walks in on his own, doctor comes in, and asks why he's there today, and Katie...
Molasses!
Katie explains what's been going on. She says that she feels like he's having a nervous breakdown. The doctor thinks that she's lying or just over-exaggerating.
Woman! Is you crazy or what?
Because Ed is now completely calm and acting cool. So the doctor asks...
Like a true psychopath, he can turn it off. And...
The doctor asks Katie, are you sure he's not just been joking with you and just fooling around? She says, no, he was not joking. And the doctor says, perhaps you overreacted.
Mm.
Putting a man in a mental ward.
Is it your time of month, little lady?
little lady.
Is it?
Why aren't you smiling?
Are you scared of the big bad world?
So, he says, look, I have other patients. I'll be back soon, and I'll give Ed a more thorough examination. So,
finger and butt.
Yeah, so Katie's just astonished and just disbelief that Ed has done this. So as soon as the doctor leaves the room, Ed looks directly at Katie.
Oh, shit!
And says, what are you trying to do? Kill me? You're trying to get rid of me. I know why. You and my brother are against me. I know about you and my brother, Ed said. Katie walked out of the room to get the doctor. She wanted him to see how Ed was acting. So as soon as Katie and the doctor return into the room, Ed is laying on his back, spitting at the ceiling at the doctor.
Oh, this again, Ed!
This fucking guy loves spitting.
Yeah, I'm going to try it. I'm going to lay in bed. I'm going to spit at the ceiling.
The doctor sees this and looks at Katie and is like, oh, yeah, I get it. So Ed is led down the hallway in a wheelchair to the mental ward, which is, you know, pretty, like, I get that he's laying on the back, spitting up the ceiling and talking to himself. But to immediately be committed to a mental ward for that is a bit of a stretch.
I don't even want to look at this guy.
A few days later, he's moved to a private room. He's drugged up on antipsychotics and antidepressants, and he's considered no longer violent at that point. So he was very calm and polite. Katie begins to wonder if all of this, these antipsychotics and everything, has actually healed him and cured him, because he was just like his
all
old self.
All she's ever wanted was a docile man.
Yeah. So, let me see. So he's released from the hospital on April 3rd. And going back to the insurance thing, like, he leaves without, he has to spend $8,000.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. And some prescriptions, but the community does come together and they do like a mutual aid fund. So they helped out. Even though he does shit for no, you know, anyone. So, for the first few weeks after his release from the mental ward, Ed followed up with his outpatient sessions, and his doctors experimented with various combinations of medicine. Ed complained that the medicine made him drowsy, didn't give him any energy, and had mouth sores.
Oh,
so the new drug, they give new drugs to him. The new drugs did not really change anything, and Ed just grows tired of all the medicine and just says, fuck it, and stops taking it. So, Katie is also having her own doubts and thinking that they probably should have stuck with Dr. L. So, April 28th, Ed fails to show up at his psychiatric appointment, and had stopped taking his pills at that point. Katie, even though she knew that she had been warned that he can't just stop taking his medication because he'll just relapse, she's all about it. She doesn't want this English drugs and the filth medicine, anymore.
Yeah.
So within days, he's back to being depressed and psychotic. On numerous occasions, Katie would walk in on him, pulling out his own hair, screaming that he's on fire. As the months wore on, Ed's condition rapidly deteriorated. He would oftentimes claim to hear Satan's voice in his head, kill her. That's what Satan kept telling him. kill her to save yourself, is what Satan would say to him. So Ed just quit sleeping for the most part, and would just sit and scratch his dry skin to a bled.
Oh.
So Ed's doing well.
He's, yeah, living his best life.
Like, may or may not be possessed. So in May, Ed tells Katie that he's decided he's going to end it all by shooting himself. So Katie had never even taken into consideration that Ed might commit suicide, even though he was acting like a lunatic. But she hurries up and gathers up all of his hunting rifles and hides them out in the shed. Ed gets pissed later when he's looking for one of his rifles. He starts smashing his fist through windows, climbs up onto the porch roof and threatens to jump and kill himself. Which, it was only 10 feet off the ground. So, he probably would have been okay. Katie's parents were coming up
like
the driveway.
An ankle or something.
So, Katie's parents,
just pull it.
As he's up on the porch, screaming he's going to jump off, kill himself, Katie's parents come up the driveway.
Do it!
And so he jumps off the roof because he doesn't want to talk to them.
Yeah.
But as he hits, he realizes, it's 10 feet. So he just hits the ground running and just runs. So Ed's father and brother had actually arrived at the scene as well. And they go down the road in their buggy chasing after Ed.
Oh, my gosh.
So the chase doesn't last long. Ed passes out about 100 yards down the road. His brother and his father load him up into the buggy and take him home. So we're going to end part one there.
There's no murder!
Because we got a lot for part two.
Oh, man.
So... but I do want to just run through that last scene again.
Yeah.
So, let's picture, like, Will Ferrell playing Ed Gingerich.
That's who I thought. We're going to the quad!
It is underwear. Tidy whities.
Yeah.
He's on the porch. I'm gonna kill myself! Yeah. I'm gonna jump off and kill myself. The camera pans out. We see that he's, like, 10 foot up. So, here, up the driveway comes Katie's parents.
Uh-huh.
They see Ed.
Ed sees them.
Will Ferrell in his underwear. He sees them. No! I don't want to talk to you. He jumps to kill himself, lands.
Looks around.
And then he just runs. So, as he's running, his father and his brother are coming up in a buggy. Let's see. They're played by... Who's playing his dad?
Oh, John Lithgow.
John Lithgow and his brother is
Paul
played.
Paul Rudd.
Yeah, I was going to go John C. Reilly.
All right, yeah, John.
Leave it. This is the stepbrother sequel. So John C. Reilly and John Lithgow with beards,
yeah,
and the Amish gear. They turn around in their buggy. They're chasing Ed. Ed's in his underwear, just running. And then 100 yards out, he just passes out.
Not away more molasses! And he passes out.
They load him up in the buggy, and they bring him home. And with that, that will be the end of part one.
Damn.
We will be back next week with part two, and we'll review week one of the USFL.
Sweet.
Whose record is better at this point?
Yeah.
I'm with the Gamblers.
I'm with the Generals.
I wonder if you can remember.
Oh, yeah. All
right.
I already got the tattoo.
Ooh.
I'm just going to tattoo it over it next week, though.
That's good. Just every week have
every
new.
Every week, yep. Just
that's smart.
Over it again.
What if they win, though? Then you keep it, right?
I'll still find something else to tattoo over.
Either way, it's done.
It.
All right.
You only live once.
YOLO! Hope so, anyways. Bye.